Welcome to the Movie Film Show, featuring Mr. Movie and Mr. Film. This week, our hosts venture off to the cinema and return with their insightful reviews on Monsters. And you will meet a tall, dark stranger. And now, without further ado, here are Mr. Movie and Mr. Film.
Hello, I'm Mr. Movie.
And I'm Mr. Film. And for our first flick this week, we have Monsters.
All I want is to go back to America. I'm just asking you to help me out here. Very difficult journey, very risky, very dangerous. Do you have the money? You take the risk.
The low-budget sci-fi thriller from Vertigo Films has a simple but interesting premise. The Earth, or at least large swaths of Mexico, was invaded by alien organisms 6 years ago. These organisms eventually grew to full size, monsters the size of small skyscrapers, and once a year migrate, leaving death and destruction in their wake. The middle of all this are unlikely heroes Samantha and Andrew. Samantha, the daughter of a U.S. media mogul, is placed in the care of photographer Andrew. His role is simple. Get her onto one of the last boats out of the country and back to the safety of home. Of course, things don't go as expected, and the two would-be lovers begin a dangerous overland odyssey. I have to admit, I had high hopes going into this R-rated high-concept film, because it looked like it was trying to inhabit the territory blazed by last year's District 9. Alas, the film really didn't live up to its intriguing premise, instead devolving into an allegory about illegal immigration while transplanting major plot points from Frank Capra's classic It Happened One Night into this sci-fi setting. What we get as a result is an attractive, brooding couple slowly and slowly making their way across Mexico while they learn about each other. It's all tedious. And even though it clocks in at just 94 minutes, it felt way too long. This was a much too long trip. Now, my criticism of the film really isn't the allegory. Allegory is a staple of sci-fi films and sci-fi literature. But the tedium. In this sort of film, there has to be a thrill or two, and we have to believe our heroes are in jeopardy. I never did. Not once. There was just something flat about the entire endeavor. While District 9 showed the implications of the alien invasion, except for the quarantine zone and the occasional half-glimpsed monster, we really don't get a sense of how this invasion has changed the Earth or its people. Not to give anything away, there is some indication that the Earth is in jeopardy. But we have no sense that anyone is all that concerned. They're just kind of going on about their lives and trekking around Mexico. The production values, they're good. The acting is adequate. But there is absolutely nothing to recommend this would-be sci-fi thriller. I'm giving it an F.
Oh, that's a little bit harsh, Mr. Film. I mean, this movie, you know, it's low budget. I don't know that much about the history or the background of the movie makers involved here, but, you know, you called the acting adequate. I don't know if I would go that far. It's a little bit amateurish, and same with the directing. But, you know, it's a low budget picture, and they managed to create something that's, you know, kind of interesting, but unfortunately has been done before, and much better with District 9.
Yeah, exactly.
You said a word that I completely agree with, tedium or tedious. Yeah, I mean, this is tedious, and there's a few areas in here where they're supposed to build drama, but it's just tedious. Like, at one point, they're trying to negotiate crossing the contaminated area, and they get stuck in this harbor. They want to, you know, get a boat or whatever and go around it, and for whatever reason, they can't, so then they have to go through it. And it's just sort of all for naught in that instance. And the characters do stuff that is so stupid that the circumstances are such that it's like, you know, who would have done that in these grave circumstances? Who would have been in a situation where they lost their passport or something? You know,
and the
way that it happens is just lame.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
I don't think I would go as far as an F. Maybe a C minus or a D plus. I'm going to go with a C minus because this looks like a good first college try. And The special effects are well done for as low a budget movie as this seems to be. It's kind of amazing what you can do with special effects, and that's kind of an interesting thing to take a look at. I hope it's a lesson to people out there who want to make low budget pictures that, yeah, you have all these tools at your disposal, but what you really need is story and conflict and drama and characters. And in those areas, it does fall a bit short.
Yeah, I think you're being way too kind to this. I think this really was a really missed opportunity. I think it could have been a much more interesting film, even with the low budget. And they had moments. There are moments that, like, okay, now something interesting is going to happen, or they're going in an interesting direction. And it never got there. As a matter of fact, I think some of the things you see glimpses of other things that are happening on TV screens throughout the picture. And in some cases, that looks a lot more interesting than what the main film was. So I think that was a big problem with it. So I think you're being a little too generous with your grade. But I take your point. I'm not budging. I still think avoid at all costs. F.
All right. Fair enough. I could probably be talked into a D+, but you know what? Like I said, I think this is a first good college try, so I'm going to be a little generous here.
All right.
Let's jump into our next review from Sony Pictures Classics. Woody Allen has his latest comedy called You Will Meet a Tall, Dark Stranger.
And just when you think things can't possibly get any worse,
I'm seeing a handsome stranger coming into your life.
His wife died and he's been trying so desperately to contact her.
I love you.
Fate lets you know there's bigger trouble out there.
He left me for another woman.
No, a deceased one.
Shakespeare said, life was full of sound and fury, and in the end signified nothing.
You will meet a tall, dark stranger.
Wow, that's exciting news.
Now, Mr. Film, I'm not a huge Woody Allen fan, and this movie is a good example why. There's just too many scenes and situations that make you think, oh, that's kind of funny, but not enough that actually make you act on it with a chuckle or a laugh. The near 1 hour, 50-minute R-rated picture takes place in London. The story involves a married couple played by Naomi Watts and Josh Brolin, while Anthony Hopkins and Gemma Jones are Naomi Watts' divorced parents. And this is one of those movies where several separate storylines play out that all intersect in some form or fashion. The problem here is that the setup just isn't that funny. Naomi Watts' mother is into seeing psychics, and Anthony Hopkins, as the ex-husband, is clichédly chasing around younger women. Josh Brolin is struggling with his writing career and his marriage with Naomi Watts, who thinks she is attracted to her new boss, Antonio Banderas. This is, of course, centered on the idea that in life we will all meet a tall, dark stranger, and that it will somehow disrupt our lives. But it just doesn't work. The biggest problem is that there's not much to root for in these characters. And they only get worse as the picture goes on, which in the end doesn't really amount to much, except the message that the mother's increasing indulgence in psychics, and thus a fantasy, is what makes her happy, while those struggling to make their way in the real world are increasingly frustrated and impotent. Now on the positive side, Anthony Hopkins is easily the strongest actor of the entire cast here. I liked his storyline the most, and his struggles were actually funny. We sympathize with him the most, I think. And even though he too can't get a firm grip on his life, his anger and frustrations are worthy of the few laugh-out-loud moments in the picture. If you like Woody Allen's movies, you'll probably enjoy the antics here. But for those of us who feel, like I do, that he is hit and miss, this is one, unfortunately, that I think is a miss. I'm going to give it a C-.
Okay, Mr. Movie, I have to say I think you missed the mark on this one. Now, while there are some funny moments, Anthony Hopkins, Alfie's chasing after a much younger, plastic-enhanced, dim-witted actress, I think this is supposed to be viewed as a drama. I don't think he really is pitching as a comedy, per se. And I think I like the film a lot better than you did. But I'm with you with Woody Allen as a total hit or miss, and I usually give him a miss. One of the things I really liked about the film is that all of these characters base their actions on not on the reality of their lives, but on what they wish it to be. And we see those consequences. So I don't mean that in a positive way. I like the fact that they make these bad decisions, and we see the inevitable consequences of that. So we have the doctor who chucks medicine to be a novelist, the husband and father who chucks a settled twilight for a young hottie, a distraught mother who finds solace in the stars, and a frustrated wife who pines after her boss only to get a reality check in the end. While I didn't love this film, I do like how Alan delivers on all of the implications of these characters' choices and leaves us hanging in the end. This is not, just to forewarn everyone, this is not a tied up in a nice bow Hollywood picture. There's a toughness here that I like and a reality that I think has been missing in Alan's other serious pictures like Match Point. And by reality, I mean an emotional reality. Characters do stupid things, but they kind of makes sense in the context of the situation, and they pay for all those their bad choices without a deus ex machina in sight. The picture is way too long. It could have easily have been trimmed by about 20 minutes, and it would have been a nice compact picture, I think, that we both would have really enjoyed. And I found some of the acting and scenes a little stagey, and again, not to give anything away, particularly in the big blow-up scene late in the picture. Now, unlike you, I really didn't like the Hopkins section. I found that to be a little, for me, that was a little bit boring.
Really?
And I much preferred the other characters' stories. And even the mother's and her weird psychic stuff seemed more interesting to me. So I think it's one of these kind of films where whatever section resonates with you, that's the section you're going to like the best. So while it's not the best picture of the year by far, I think it's worth checking out. And I'm going to give it a B+. Mainly because I think it's too long.
Wow. I see what you're saying about, you know, the themes here and whatnot. I think that's a good analysis. But
yeah,
and I see where you're coming from, and it really makes sense what you're saying. However, it just didn't connect with me. I mean, intellectually,
okay,
it makes sense, but emotionally, I didn't connect with it. And I think, like I mentioned in my review, the characters just get worse and worse in terms of their moral character.
Yeah.
And I didn't feel like it's like, oh, well, this is the consequences of their actions. I just felt like I don't care anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. And I could see that, too. I think this is really one of those kind of pictures, and I've had this happen to me a few times, that when you go see it, it depends on like kind of where you are, if it's really going to resonate with you or not. So I think that, you know, sometimes it's one of those kind of things. I hate to put it this way, but it's almost like you have to be in the right kind of mood to go see this picture. So if you're looking for an uplifting, classic Woody Allen comedy picture, don't go see this. If you're looking for something that's kind of an interesting drama about messy people doing stupid, messy things, this is the kind of picture you want to go see on that day. So.
No, I agree. And I think, you know, in terms of his comedies, I like Curse of the Jade Scorpion a lot better. I think that's a really funny romantic comedy from Woody Allen. I don't know. It's funny that you didn't like Anthony Hopkins, because I really liked him the most. I thought his reactions to what was going on was really funny.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like he just can't get a grip, and he's really trying, and it just gets worse and worse. It kind of reminds me of the movie A Shock to the System with Michael Caine.
Yeah.
Where he's sort of losing it and going over the edge. He can't get it. He doesn't get the promotion he wants. And so he sort of triggers an accidental, you know, death or suicide. And it just gets progressively worse and worse and worse. It sort of reminds me of that. But that is a much more dark comedy, but is, I think, a lot more funny than this is, and sort of attaches on to the Anthony Hopkins. What I was interested in the Anthony Hopkins character here. So,
yeah.
I think that's a better alternative. Another thing that was kind of weird about this was the narrator in this. I think we heard some of that in the trailer. And we don't really know whose voice it is, and it never really turns out to be anybody. So I'm not really sure what purpose that served.
Yeah, and it's funny because you know that was used in the Royal Tenenbaums a few years ago. They did the narration sort of thing. That worked. I agree with you. The narration, though, in some cases interesting about giving certain insights and helping to kind of keep the story moving a little bit, you know, making it a little more efficient. I actually thought originally it was going to be the Josh Brolin character kind of narrating, you know, he's kind of a frustrated novelist, and he finally, what I thought was going to happen, this is not what happens, but what I thought was going to happen was that he was going to find fuel in the life around him, and he was going to essentially write almost an autobiographical novel about what was happening. And this is,
and thank goodness it didn't go there, because that just would have been way too cliched, I think.
Yeah, I agreed, but you know, but this disembodied narrator was a little strange. I do agree with you on that. Didn't bother me. It probably should have, and I probably like this film a lot bit more than I expected I would, and probably more than maybe I should. I still found that I kind of liked it. So I guess I was in the right mood to see this. So Mr. Allen is getting, crew is getting the benefit of me being seeing their film on the right day at the right place.
Okay. All right. Well, that wraps the show for this week. Let's see. Mr. Film gave Monsters an F, and I gave it a C-.
And Mr. Movie gave You Will Meet a Tall, Dark Stranger a C-, and I gave it a B+.
Well, let's see. Next week, I think we're going to see Due Date, and then we're also going to take a dive into an action thriller with Naomi Watts here, Sean Penn, and Sam Shepard called Fair Game. And then finally, Megamind, which is going to be presented in 3D. We'll be back next show to talk about all of those.
As always, check us out at www.moviefilmshow.com or subscribe to the show for free via iTunes. And we always like to hear from our listeners, so feel free to email us with comments, suggestions, etc. at mail@moviefilmshow.com. I'll see you next week, Mr. Movie.
I'll see you, Mr. Film. However, it just didn't connect with me.
And I've had this happen to me, personally happen to me a few times, that whatever section resonates with you, that's the section you're going to like the best.
This is one, unfortunately, that I think is a miss.
I think you missed the mark on this one. This was a much too long trip, a little bit boring. Slowly, it's all tedious.
You said a word that I completely agree with, blame.
I had high hopes going into this. There was just something flat about the entire endeavor.
Tedium or tedious?
Okay, now something interesting is going to happen.
I hope it's a lesson to people out there who want to make low-budget pictures that, yeah, you have all these tools at your disposal, but what you really need is story and conflict and drama and characters.
And death and destruction.
You said a word that I completely agree with.
I never did. Not once.